The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parasha is Parashas Vayiro. There's a Mishnah Masechet Avos, Perek Hamishi, Mishnah Gimel. Asara Nishenes, Nishnase Avram Avino. 10 tests Avram Avino was tested with. The Amad Bekulam. And he stood by all of them. That means he was successful in all of them. Lehodia kama chibose shel Avraham Avinu. This is to make it known, to teach us how great his love was, the love of Avraham Avinu for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, of these 10 tests, they have all taken place already since we started to learn about Avram, and culminate in this week's Parsha. They culminate with the Akedah Yitzchok, with the offering of Yitzchok. There are differences of opinions as to how to count the 10 tests. In the Chazal, it seems it might be in the Chazal, in the Rishenim, Obviously, Reb Nosson, Pirkei Reb Lezer, the Rishenim, and so forth. But we will make mention of what they were. And first, we'll follow the pattern of the Pirkei Reb Lezer. This was written by Reb Lezer HaGodol Etano in Perechov Vov. Both the first and the second tests this was prior to Lech Lecha, prior to Abraham leaving his home. And this was that Bikshu Nimrod, Bigdele Malchus, Lehorge, that when he broke the idols of his father, and when he stood up against all of the kings and started to debate with them and become victorious, they wanted to kill him. He wanted to eradicate Aveda Zora, idolatry, and they weren't happy with that. That was their belief, that was their God, these were their gods. So, firstly, it's brought that they threw him into a jail, into a dungeon. It's possible this dungeon was underground for a long period of time. And then when he got out, again they wanted to kill him, so he went and he concealed himself underground for a long time, until finally they took him and threw him in a kifshin shel eish, in a fiery furnace. V'nasa le'neis, and a miracle took place, and he was saved from this. So this is the obvious that Reb Nosson counts as 2 of the nishenes during this period of time. Breaks it up into 2. This that he went and escaped underground, and this that he escaped from the furnace. And this is what is meant. We have a pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha. See, actually, this is not at all explicitly written in the Torah. The Torah doesn't write anything about anyone wanting to kill Avraham at that time, or about Nimrod, or the kings. But this is alluded to. The Chazal learned this from the posuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, last week's Parsha, by the Bris Ben Abesorim, Perek Tesvav Posuk Zayin, where it states, Vayoyim Eilov, Ani Hashem Asher Hotzei Sicho Mi'ur Kazdim. I am the God which has taken you out of Ur Kazdim. Loses Lochas Oretz Azos L'Rishto, to give you this land as an inheritance. The simple meaning of Ur Kazdim is Babel, because the Bablim, they were called Kasdim. So this is the land where Abraham came from, Babel, Iraq. But it's a little difficult that it states, Asher Hetzesicha, I have taken you out. Actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take him out from there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him, Lech Lecha, Me'atzecha, go out from there. And Avram went out on his own. So it would have been better to say that, Ani Hashem Asher Tzivisicha, Leleches Me'ur Kasdim. I am the God who commanded you to go out from Ur Kasdim. It's not like, Asher Tzivisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Hashem always says he took us out of Egypt because there we weren't able to go out on our own. So he had to come and take us out. But that was not the case with Abraham. So from here we see now that it wasn't just a case where Hashem commanded him, but Hashem freed him from Ur Kasdim. In other words, he was a captive there. They were after him to kill him or to capture him. And Hashem freed him from Ur Kasdim. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah, in his Pirush HaMasechet Avos, he brings that another remes, another subtle hint to this, is from the fact that Ur Kasdim is mentioned twice before Parshas Lech Lecha. The beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to Abram and says, "Vayim Hashem al Abram, Lech Lecha mi'atzecha mi'maladetechem beisovicha. Go out from your land, your family, your birthplace, the house of your father, the Lord is Asher Arecha, to the land which I will show you." And there he's ve'asukal legoy godol ve'avarechacha ve'agad l'shemecha. And there HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes, he says that he will heap brachas on Abraham. But there is no place in the Torah which tells us why Hashem has promised or has stated that he will heap all of these brachas on Abraham. No place in the Torah. So, but before, right before Parshas Lech Lecha, before that Sivui, it states twice in the Torah, Ur Kasdim. So, at the end of Parshas Noach, in Pasuk Chof Ches, Vayomos Horan al Pnei Terach Aviv, Horan died in the presence of his father, Terach, Be'eretz Meladetoy, in the land which he was born, Be'ur Kasdim. There writes Ur Kasdim. And then again, a few psukim later, in Posuk Lamer Aleph, Vayikach Terach es Avram b'nei ves leit ben Aron ben b'nei ve sorei kalose eishes Avram b'nei. Terach took Abraham's son, Lot, the son of Horan, who was his grandson, ve sorei kalose, and he took Sora, his daughter-in-law, the wife of Avram, vayetsu itom mi'ur kasdim. Again, advice, and they went out from Ur Kasdim. Loleches atzo Canaan, to go to Canaan, and they came to the city of Choran vayeshvu shom. So twice, right before Lech Lecha, it states Ur Kasdim. This is a remes, Rabbeinu Yonah says. Here the Torah is alluding to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Abraham, because of what took place in Ur Kasdim. Ur Kasdim is the place where Abraham stood up against the people, stood up against the people and against the king, and debated with them and was victorious. Now Rashi, now here is not only a remes to that, but it's even a remes to the Nisim, to the miracles that took place. Rashi brings on that posuk in Chof Ches, where it states that Horon, the son of Terach, died in the presence of Ur Kasdim, while his father was still alive in Ur Kasdim. So Rashi brings from the Medrash, which states as follows: Kabel Terach al Avram b'nai lifnei Nimrod al shikitei seslomov. Terach went and complained to Nimrod that Avram destroyed his idols. So they took Avram and they were going to throw him into the furnace. And Horan was sitting there, and he was saying to himself, "Im Avram neitzeach ani mishaloi. If Avram will be victorious, I will be on his side. Im Nimrod neitzeach ani mishaloi. If Nimrod will be victorious, I will be on his side." Ukishenitzel Avram, and when Avram was saved, Omru leilo Horan. So they said to Horan, "Mishal mi ato? Whose side are you on?" Omalehem Horan, "Mishal Avram ani." Horan said, "I'm with Avram." Hishlichuhu lekivshon ha'esh v'nishraf. So they threw him in the Kivshon HaEsh, in the furnace, and he was consumed by the flames. So this is why Horan died, al pnei Terach, which means not only in the presence of his father Terach, but it was through his father Terach, and be'erz malareta bu'ur kazdim. This was in Ur Kazdim. Now, Rashi goes into, from the Medrash, what does it mean, Ur Kazdim? See, the land was the land of the Kazdim. So it should say Kazdim. Eretz Kazdim. Why Ur? So Rashi says, Zehu Ur Kazdim, that Ur means fire. So here's a remes, an allusion to a subtle hint to the fire. Then the Rashi brings from Menachem ben Soruk, where Ur has could have another meaning. Biko, or Beka Omuk, or a Chor, a deep pit, or a deep hole. Now, it comes up very good now, that both in the word Ur Kazdim, there's a subtle indication to both the fire and the pit. And these are the two episodes that took place with Avraham. He was concealed in the pit, or he was jailed in the pit, and he was burnt in the fire. And in both cases, he was saved. And now it's very good why it says twice Ur Kazdim, to show the both miracles. And this is what is meant later on, and this is the indication of what Abraham did before HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and told him to leave. And now it is very understandable that when Hashem came to Avraham in Parshas Lech Lecha on the Brish Bein HaBesorim, like we mentioned, it states, "Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem Asher Otzeisicho Me'er Kazdim." I am the Lord your God that has taken you out of Ur Kazdim. These were the first two tests and the first two miracles. Also, there's the Pasuk in Nehemiah, which we say in Davening every morning, at the end of the Psukit Zimra. In Nehemiah Tes, Pasuk Zayin and Ches, "Atohu Hashem elekecho, asher bachalta bi Avram, ve'itzeiso me'ur kazdim, v'sam tishmei Avraham." So you are God who has chosen in Avraham, who took him out of the land of Ur Kazdim, and Umotzoses Lebovei Nemon Lefanecho, and found that his heart was pure with you. So these are the first two of the Asor Nishenis. The third, the obviously Pirkei Rebbe Elazar says as follows: Tiltelu Mibeis Oviv Umimishpachtai Vehiviu Lechorum. Mishom meis terach oviv, v'imai v'amasalyoi. The fact that he had to leave Ur Kazdim, and he went with his father to Choron, his father and mother. And in Choron, both his father and mother died. Terach, and the Medrash brings, the Torah doesn't tell us what was the name of Avram's mother. The Medrash brings this. Her name was Amasloi was her name. It's actually a name of a bird. And the Gemara brings this in Bava Basra at the end of Amechres Asfino on the Nun Beis, Seif Amad Aleph. And the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar continues, "Atil tu kosher la'odem yesem mikol." When a person has to move and go from one city to another, this is the most difficult things. And he goes into Golus. Uminayim shel tiltalu, and how do we know that Abraham had to move? Shenem alech lecho me'artzecho umimaladetecho, umibeisobicho. So the third test was lech lecho, to go. And this was said to Abraham from the Psukim. It would seem that this was said to Abraham in the city of Choron. See, first they left Ur Kasdim, it states, and they went to Choron. Then the Torah tells us that in Choron Terach died. And then Hashem came to Abraham and said, Lech Lecha, go from Choron to Eretz Yisrael. From the Pirkei de Reb Lezer is implied not like that. That while they were in Ur Kasdim already, Hashem told Abraham to go. So he went with Terach and his mother. And they reached Choron. And there his father and his mother died. And Abraham carried on. Generally, when we think of Abraham's life, we think that he had a very, very pleasant life, a very good life. He had, Sarah was one of the most beautiful women of creation. He had a wonderful son, Yitzchak. He became extremely wealthy. He was known by all of the people, and he became a Nasi Elohim, a great king over them. So it was a success story. It wasn't. Abraham endured great, great suffering. And this is what the Mishnah is telling us, Asora Nishainis, that 10 tests were given to Abraham. The Omar Bekulam. Abraham Nishainis, Asora Nishainis, Nisnasa Abraham. The Omar Bekulam. In Ovis Derb Nosum, so after the 10 tests, which we will go through, it states, it uses a language of where was Nimtza Sholem Bakulam, that in every test Abraham came through 100%. In other words, he didn't complain. He wasn't Mahara Achar Midas of Shalakodesh Baruch Hu. He didn't try to second think the reasons why Kodesh Baruch Hu was doing this to him. He didn't lose his trust or his faith in Hashem. The fourth test is that Abraham now comes to Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem takes him through the land and tells him to travel from one place to the other. And he goes and he looks at the land and he moves his camps from one place to the other. And then he tells him, he says, Vayira Hashem Avram Vayoma Lezarecha Atenas Oretz Hazos. All of this land that you see, I'm going to give to your seed, this wonderful land. Then it states, Vayira Ba'oretz. There was a famine in the land. Vayerer Avram Yitzrayim Alagur Shom. And Abraham had to go down to Egypt to dwell there, Ki Choveid Hara'av Ba'oretz, because the famine became so heavy in the land. In other words, he wanted to stay in Eretz Yisrael, but it came to the point where he couldn't. This is in Pashas Lech Lecha, Yud Beis Posuk Yud. The Pirkei de Reb Lezer says as follows, Miyom shenivro shamayim v'oretz leboro'ov. From the time that the heavens and earth were created, there was no such thing as a famine until now. That means, for the first 20 generations of creation, a famine was unknown, was unheard of. Until now. This was the first one. Ela b'mei Avraham. B'lei b'chol ha'arotzeis. Ela b'eretz kenan b'lvad. And even now that there was a famine, this famine was not worldwide. This was limited to Eretz Kenan, to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Land l'inseisei. in order to test Abraham, force him to go into Golos again, into Egypt. There was a famine in the land, and Avram went down to Egypt. Now, when we read this pasuk, it seems like a simple thing. It wasn't a simple thing. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uproots him, tells him to leave the land that he was born in, and leave his family and everyone else, and become a ger, become a stranger, an alien, go to an alien land. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will give you all kind of wealth. God l'shemecha, I'll give you everything, I'll make your name great. And then he tells him, I'll give you this, you see this whole land, it'll be all yours, and to your seed. Then, all of a sudden, there's nothing to eat. And not only there's nothing to eat, but it states, and it says, ki chaveda roboretz. That means that even though there was nothing to eat, Avram still was insistent on staying in Eretz Yisrael. But the famine became so serious, so difficult, he had to again uproot himself and leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Egypt. Now, is there room for complaint? There would be plenty, plenty room for complaint. Why have you done this to us? Lama hara also. Why have you done this to me? Still, is nimtzo sholem b'chol. Avraham didn't complain. He packed up. And he went down to Egypt. That was the fourth test. Now he comes to Egypt, and he's confronted with another great problem. The Pirkei Rebbe says, "Shenil kechasori ishtei leparei." His wife was abducted, and she was taken to be a queen to Parei, the Isha. What took place? Sukim say, "Vayhi kasher yikriv lavei mitzrayim, vayim el sarai ishtai hineinu yadati ki she'efas mara'ot." As they came close to Egypt, so he said, "I know." He told Sarah, "I know that you're very, very beautiful." Vayo ki yiru aysach hamitzrayim, v'omru ishtai zeis v'horgu esiv aysoch yechayu. And when the Egyptians will see you, so they will find out that you're my wife, they will kill me and they'll take you. So therefore, we have to make a plan. What was Avram's concern? He had two concerns. The first concern was, and not only Sarah was beautiful, but the Gemara says in Masechta Megillah that Sarah was from the four most beautiful women of creation. So not only she was beautiful. The second problem was that. He says, the Mitzrim, the Egyptians who are from the Menei Chom, they came from Chom, they were very ugly people. And he says, they're not used to a beautiful woman. Now, he wasn't worried that anybody's going to take her. He was worried, and that's what happened. When they'll see you, so the officers of Parai will take Sora to be a queen. See? And that's what they did. See, Rashi says, he says that the Pasuk states, Vayirai Sasore Parai, the officers of Parai saw her, Vayahalalu I saw El Parai, and they praised her. Rashi says, Hilaluhu ben Nehem Leime Haguna Zu Lamelech. This woman, a woman like this we never saw before, she is for a king. And Vatukach Isha Beis Parai, so they took her to the palace of Parai. In the meantime, Avram tried to make a plan. First, he concealed her in a box, so they wouldn't find her. But as he was coming in, they were checking for what was being brought into the country, for duties and so forth, so then they found her. The next is, he said, all right, she's my sister, because he was afraid that he felt they wouldn't take a married woman, but they would kill the husband first. So that's why he said, she's my sister. Now the Medrash, again, the Torah doesn't go into detail. It seems like, well, it just passed over. The Medrash says not like that. The Medrash says, v'chi yesh l'cho odom, the Pirkei Rebbe, v'chi yesh l'cho odom shereya, she ishtay nilkecho li'ish acher, v'ina kereyas begodov. Is there a person who's going to stand by and witness that his wife is abducted to another man and he's not going to rent his garments? This, in other words, this is bringing out the great sorrow, the great agony and pain that Avraham was suffering when Sarah was abducted. He never knew if he'd get her back. So, this was the fifth Nisoin. And still, Avraham didn't complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then, when we go a little further, it tells us that Avraham and Lot split up because they were becoming so wealthy and they had so many herds of cattle and of sheep and of goats, camels, donkeys and so forth, the land was not able to hold them all. So they had to split up. So Lot went to Sodom. Now the Torah tells us, this is in Yudalet Aleph, that there was Vayhi Bimei Amrofel, Melech Shinor. There was a war. There were four kings with their empires, and they went to war against five other kings in their empires, and amongst the five was Melech Sodom, the king of Sodom, and they were victorious. Rashi tells us, this shows us the great strength of the four kings and their empires, that they were able to be victorious and to rule over five mighty empires. Then they enslaved them for 12 years. Then there was a rebellion and the war started again. So again, the four kings went, and they conquered the five kings. And while doing that, they went to Sodom, that was one of their opponents, and they took Lot, who was the nephew of Avraham. And because of that, Avraham had to go to war to save Lot. And he went to war, he didn't have a big army, so he went to war with Eliezer. And the Chazal tell us, the gematria of Eliezer is Shin Yud Ches 318, which means he took 318 soldiers. So he went to war with 318 soldiers against four mighty empires. Now, this is the simple meaning. The Pirkei Eliezer says that actually there was more behind this to this. It says the whole purpose of this war was to kill Avraham. And they said, Naschil Risha in Beben Ochiv, Va'achakach Naschil Boy. Let us first get a hold of his nephew, and we will kill his nephew, and then we will go after Avraham. See, actually, when it states, Vayhi Bimei Amrofel, the leader of the four kings was Amrofel, that was Nimrod. And Nimrod was an old enemy of Avraham yet. So there was a master plan. Naskiru Biben Rishayim Biben Ochiv, we will go first after his nephew. Bi'achakach Naskiru Bay, and then we will take care of Avraham. Ubishvil Leit Loch was called Rechushtem Vamora. And when they went after Lot, so Lot was in Sodom, so first they conquered Sodom and Amora. And then they took everything that was there. Then they took Lot, Achakach Shovwes Lot Ves Rechusha, and then they took all of Lot's possession. Then someone came and told Avraham about it. So Avraham went to war to save Lot, but also the danger was against him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a great miracle in which Avraham was saved and Lot. So this was the sixth test and the sixth miracle that took place. Again, Avraham found himself that life wasn't that rosy. Next, the seventh one was the Bris Ben Absorim. After this took place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Abraham. And he says, Achad Vorim Ela. After this took place, this is in Perek Tesvov. Oyedvar Hashem el Avram b'machazeh lemor. The word of Hashem came to Avram in a machazeh, in a vision, in a dream. And he says, do not be afraid. I am with you. I will protect you, and so on. And I will make your seed, he said, Abed Hashemayimah. Look into the heavens. And if you can count the stars, that's how you'll be able to count your seed. I'll make you into a mighty nation. Then, Kodesh Baruch Hu comes, and Avram says, Bamo Eida Ki Roshenu. How do I know you're giving me this whole land? With what schus will I hold on to it? So then Hashem tells him to take three calves, and three goats, and three rams, and a turtle dove, and a dove, and to cut them in half, and so forth. And Bisade Manofla Avram, and a great slumber fell on Avraham. Vine ema chasecho gedola nefelesulov. And a great darkness fell on him. Vayom ala Avraham yudoye teda ki geri azacho beres lalehem. You should know that your children will be strangers in a land which is not theirs. Vavodu binu osam. And they will be enslaved and afflicted. Arba meyashona for 400 years. Now, Avram finally gets through the war. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and gives him a vision that his seed are going to be afflicted, enslaved and afflicted. And there'll be aliens in a land which is not theirs for 400 years. What is this all about? And the Chazal tell us that not only did Hashem show to Abraham what will happen to a seed in Egypt, but Herolai Shibud Arba Malchias. He also showed to Abraham what will happen to his seed after Egypt, when there will be four great empires that will try to destroy them, and they will go through all of those tzoros, all of that tzoros and troubles. There would be the Malchus Babel, Babylonia, which would destroy the first Beis HaMikdash, and then there would be Malchus Modaioparas, Persian Empire, and that's what the whole business with Mordechai and Haman. And then there would be the Malchus of Yavon, the Greek Empire, and that was during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And then there'll be the Malchus Edom, the Roman Empire, that will, from Esav, that will destroy the second Beis HaMikdash and go again into Golos. Now, this was the next test. Because here, after all of the promises and all of the brachas that were heaped on Avraham, Kodesh Baruch Hu is showing them this vision. And still, Umotzosai es liboy Nemon. His lave was Nemon, Avraham stood strong. The eighth test is what we have at the end of Lech Lecha. The end of Parshas Lech Lecha. It states in Perek Yud Zayin, Vayi Avram ben Tishim Shona v'Seisha Shonim. Avram was 99 years old. Vayiro Hashem el Avram v'yom elov ani el Shaddai Yisalek Lefona v'yisomim. Hashem came to Avraham and he said to him, I am God, your God. Walk before me and you shall be complete. And here he gave Avram the command of the Bris Milah, where he is to circumcise himself, and also his son Ishmael, and his entire household. Now, to circumcise Ishmael, his entire household, is one thing, but to circumcise his son, himself, at the age of 99 years old, he was a Zokin, he was a very old man, this was another great Nisoyin, another great test. And still, Abraham did not relent at all from this. It states after Hashem told him exactly what was involved. So it states, when Hashem finished speaking with him, Vayal Elokim Me'al Avraham, so Elokim Hashem left. Vayikach Avraham Yishmael B'nei Ve'Yizkol Yelidei Beis Ve'Yizkol Miknes Kaspe Kol Zocha B'Anshe Beis Avraham Vayomol Es B'Sar Losem Or Losem Be'Etzem Hayem Azek Asher Diber Itay Elokim Vavram Ben Tishim V'Sei Shoshone B'Yimele B'Sar Or Losem. On that very day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram went and he circumcised himself, Yishmael, his entire household. So this was the eighth test. The ninth test was in our Parshas Vayira. In Vayera it states, after Sarah gives birth to Yitzchok, in Perchof Aleph, Pasuk Tes, Vatera Sarah es ben Hogar Amitzri Sashe Yolde Lavrom Mitzachek. Sarah saw that the son of Hogar, the Mitzris, which gave birth for Avraham, is Mitzachek. He is sporting. Now, there were serious things going on, because the Chazal tell us it's Loshen Averis Kachovim, Loshen Shvichas Domim, Loshen Gila Arais. Actually, he was attempting to kill Yitzchok. He was shooting arrows at Yitzchok. And he was doing all kinds of things like that. And he would say, I'm the oldest. Avram was very, very wealthy. And he would say, I'm the oldest. I'm the Bechor. I am going to be the heir. I will inherit. Patomelo Avraham. And she said to Avraham, Goreisho Oma Azeish Vesbono. Chase out the Oma, that's Hogar, and her son. Kila Yirash Ben Oma Azeish in Bnei Yitzchok. Because he will not inherit with my son, Yitzchok. Now, at face value, this doesn't look too bad, but says, Vayera hadover me'od be'enei Avraham. This plan was very, very bad, very evil in the eyes of Avraham. Al odis b'nai. Now, there's two perushim. One perush is, he was very, very upset that his son Ishmael became so evil. But the other perush is that, no, he was very much against this plan. Because how can Avraham go and chase out the woman that he had the son from and his own son? And Avraham was the great Baal Chesed. And here you're telling him to do such a cruel thing. So that's what it means, Vayera hadover be'od b'ini Avraham. The Pirkei that Reb Lezer states, Umikol haroz shebol al Avraham, from all of the difficulties that came on Avraham, hayakosh vera be'enav adover hazeh me'od. This was what he considered the most evil, and which he did not want to do. You see, the other things, even when he was asked to sacrifice his son, but then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, so he couldn't consider that evil. But here what Sarah was demanding, he considered that the most evil thing possible. It says, Vayera, it says, Mikol haro shebol Avraham, hoyakosh vera be'enav hadover azeh, me'od shenema Vayera, hadover me'od be'enei Avraham, al odis b'nai. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the next pasuk it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to come and tell him, Vayom Elokim el Avraham, al yeda beinecho. Do not consider this evil in your eyes, ala nar ve ala mosecho, on the lad and on her mother. Kol asher temar eilecho soro shema bekeilo. And whatever Sora tells you, listen to, because what she's telling you is Beruach HaKodesh, is from me. Ki biyitzkok yikor el chozora, because your seed will not be from Yishmael, but it will be from Yitzchok. But this was a great, great difficulty for Abraham, that his own son, he has to go now and chase out. So this was the ninth test. The final test, tenth, takes place at the end of our sedra. And that's Perichot Beis. It was after all of this that Hashem came to test Abraham. He said, take your son, your only son, which you love, as Yitzchok, and go to the land of Moriah, and bring him up for a sacrifice on one of the mountains which I shall show you. Now, which I shall tell you. This was the tenth, where his only son he was to sacrifice. And this was the enormous one. This was the most difficult one, because two reasons. First of all, because of personal reasons. This was Avram's son. He had already sent away Yishmael, now his son from Sora. And this was Yitzchok HaTzadik. And he was told to make a sacrifice out of him. So for personal reasons. But secondly, for the reason, for the all-encompassing reason, that Avram's whole mission in the world was to bring the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. The Maral brings that when it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayevorech Hashem Avraham Bakol, that's the next week's sedra, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avraham Bakol, and the Chazal say, Shenosan Leben, gave him a son. So he says, why is a son called Hakol? And to the contrary, if a person has a son and not a daughter, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of Pruvu. He says, why is that called Bakol? Now he says, for Abraham, this was all. Because Abraham's entire life and mission in the world was to bring the Or Hashem into the world. Like we spoke about last week, Bereshis Bor, Vayhi Or, Ze Avraham Haskolas Or. Avraham was the beginning of the light in the world. And the only way he could do that is through his descendants. So if he had no son, he had nothing. If he had a son, then he had everything he needed. Because through Yitzchok this would come. So that's why it states there, Ubeirach Hashem Bakol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avraham Bakol. But now, Hashem is telling him, take your son and make him for a sacrifice. So this involved two problems. The personal problem and the all-encompassing problem that all of these years he worked towards this goal, and through all of these sorrows, this sorrows and troubles. And now it's going to end here. Still he did it. In fact, as it states, Vayashke Mavron Baboker. It says, Abba Mekalkele says, Ashura. He had such a great love to follow the Devar Hashem, he even got up early the next morning to start to fulfill this mitzvah. So this was the tenth test. And the Pirkei de Rav Lezer says as follows, Habamanases Avram kol pam upam, Kodesh Baruch Hu would test Avram each time, leida es liboy, to know if his heart was yochol lamaid v'lishma es kol mitzvaseh, if his heart will be strong enough to guard all of the mitzvahs of Hashem. Now, the Pirkei de Rav Lezer goes to great elaboration on all of these ten tests. All I'm doing is just summarizing very concisely each one. So we see that Avram's life was not a bed of roses at all. The fact is there was no one, it seems, that were given such great tests and had such great trials and tribulations. There are other tests which are added to these 10, namely another 4, which other sources in the Chazal and the Rishonim count amongst the 10 tests. As I mentioned at the offset, there's a question just how to count the 10. And for example, Sora was abducted a second time. And that's in this week's parsha. She was abducted a second time by Abimelech, Melech Gror, Plishtim, by the king of Gror, the king of Plishtim. And again, Avram's wife was taken away from him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make a miracle to get her back. So some count that as another test. And in the Avos de Rav Nosein, it says Shtayim, according to the Girsa of the Gaon, it states Shtayim be Ishtay, two tests with his wife, which would mean that they're counting that as a separate test. And the Rambam, the Pirush Rambam, also counts it as a separate test. In Pirkei the Blazer, it's not. Rashi and Ovis brings Pirkei the Blazer and does not count it as a second test. And the Maral holds that's the main Pirush. It's not to be counted as a second test. And the reason he gives is just because each test was different from the other and was greater than the other. This was merely a duplication of when Pare took Sora. So therefore it's not to be counted as a separate test. In other words, there was plenty other tzoras that happened to Avram also, but we're speaking of the 10 tests where one was more than the other. Excuse me. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaro. Another case the Rambam brings. He says, "Lokai hoga liisha acha shenei ash mihailid misora." From the fact that he lived with Sora for so many years, and then they realized they would never have children, so he had to go take the oma, take her maidservant. That the Rambam counts as one of the major ones of the 10 tests. Another example: Gorash hoger acharei hibonese mimeno. See, in the Pirkei de Rav Lazar, we mentioned that he had to send his son away. But what about Hogar? So the Rambam says that's another test. Not only did he have to send his son Ishmael, he had to send Hogar away, who was a wife to him, after he built from her, after he had a son from her. And that was a great test. That would be, in Avos de Rav Nosein, we have two texts. One text, like I mentioned, Shtayim b'Ishtay, that twice with his wife, and that's the Girsas HaGro, that's according to the Gaon. So that would refer to what we mentioned, two tests that happened to Sora. She was abducted twice. But we have another, instead of Shtayim b'Ishtay, we have B'Shtei Noshov, that he was tested with both of his wives. So that would be according to the Rambam, that one of the tests was that Sora was abducted, and the other, the test, was that he had to chase away Hogar also. And then a fourth test, and this is brought in the Rabbeinu Yonah amongst the 10 tests, Kfura Sora, the burial of Sora. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him such big promises, and he'll give him all of Eretz Yisrael, this whole beautiful land and everything and so forth, and he'll be wealthy, when it came to bury Sora, he didn't have any land to bury her. It states that he had to go, and he had to go through a whole business with the B'nai Ches in order to buy a little piece of land in order to bury Sora. And he didn't complain. Actually, that's brought later on by Moshe when HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticizes Moshe from complaining. Lama Hari Aisa. So Hashem said, Chaval, the Abdim Le Mishtachim. He says, the earlier ones, Avraham, he couldn't find a place to bury Sora and he never complained. After I made all the promises. So, that also, the Rambam counts. Now there was another 4 possible cases. And that is that when Sora was taken by Avimelech, second abduction, or Avraham had to go and marry the Shivcha of Sora, because they couldn't have children, or he had to chase Hagar away also after she gave him a child, or the burial of Sarah, that he couldn't find any place to bury Sarah, even though the whole land was promised to him. So there are different ways how to count it. If we add some of these, then we have to take out some of the others. We won't go into all of the details, but just as an example, the Rambam doesn't count the first two. The first two was where we mentioned that what happened to Avraham and Ur Kasdim, that Nimrod wanted to kill him, and they threw him into the dungeon. He had to hide on the ground for many years. Then he was thrown into the furnace. The Rambam doesn't count those. And he says the reason is, he says, because those are not mefurish bikro. They're not explicit in the psukim. The Rambam only counts 10 nishenis that are explicit in the psukim. See, so he takes out those two, and then he can add another two of the others. Now, after all of this is said, now we can ask, what did HaKadosh, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu test Avram so many times? What's he making his life so miserable for? So much tzoros, as evil tzoros. It states in the Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's menase es sadikov. Doesn't test everyone, but he tests the tzaddikim. Umeviyah aleihem yisurim gedelim, and he brings on his tzaddikim great trials and tribulations. And adarabah, just to the contrary, the greater the tzaddik, the more he tests them, and the more tzoros he brings on them. See, usually it's popular vision that tzoros comes if you're bad. If you're good, then you're riding high. See, if you're good, then it's an easy ride through life. Chazal tell us just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bother testing the Rishoyim. He might bring Yisurin on them for other reasons, but he doesn't bother to test them. He doesn't bother to bring on these types of tzoros. This he does for a tzaddik. And not only that, but the greater the tzaddik, the more tests he brings on him. And now this answer is by Avraham. Avraham was the greatest of all of them. Avraham was the Amud HaRishon, the Haskola Shavor. On him the world was going to be built, like we spoke about last week. Therefore, there was no one that was going to be tested like Avraham. And that's why it states, Asor and Nishenis, Nasu Avraham Avinu. 10 times Avraham was tested. And he came through on each one with flying colors. And not only that, but the Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought great tests also. And some say 10 on all of the others. Not as much as Avraham, but 10 on all of the others, on Yitzchak and Yaakov. And we know that they had plenty of tzoros. And not only that, we know, for example, by David HaMelech, it states he had enormous tests and tzoros. And we know that Yisrael has more tzoros than all of the other nations. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishle, Perek Gimel Yud Aleph. He says, Musar Hashem b'ni al timos. He addresses this. And he says, my son, the Musar of Hashem, the rebuke and the affliction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which the natural response to it is to resent and to repel. He says, Al Timos, don't resent it. Ba'al Tokeit B'Seichachtei, do not resent it and do not look at it with repulsion or with anger in all of his rebuke. Ki es hasheh ye'ev Hashem yechiyach. Because it's just opposite of what you think. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bother with these things to his Rishoyim. But as Hashem Ye'av, Hashem Ye'chiyach. But to those, he who he loves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rebuke. Uka'ov is Ben Yitzah. Just like a father will rebuke his son more than a strange person, because he has more love for his son than for a strange person. A strange person is running around and doing bad things. He's not interested. Because he's not that interested in the welfare of a strange person. But in his son, that's a different story. So, Shlomo HaMelech just tells us just exactly the opposite. Don't resent the rebuke. Don't reject it. Don't look at it repulsively. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this to he who he loves, and not to he those that he hates. Rashi tells us, "Im yavo lech yisurim, if yisurim come upon you, you chavivin alecha, you should accept it with endearment." Ukaaves ben yitzeh shereitze b'mnei lehetiv lo. If I say olach hashemakeo b'shevet. Just like when a father disciplines a son, he's doing it because of the love for his son and how interested he is in his welfare. Kein yerav le'atov achramaka. So an ultimate good comes from it, so is it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's in general. Now, in particular though, the Maral brings a medrash. A medrash Rabbah, Bereishis Rabbah Perek Nun Hei. And there, the medrash gives three examples of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's Menase Es Sadikov, when he tests his Sadikim. And it says, "Ein manase elo esadikov." What are the three examples? The first example is liyetze shemakish alakankanim lechasko. A person whom a pottersmith who makes earthenware. After he makes the earthenware, when the clay is being molded and it dries, he beats on it. And when you beat on the earthenware, it makes it stronger. But he's careful to examine the pots to know exactly which ones can take a lot of beating and which ones cannot. But he does not beat the weak pots, because those will not become stronger, but they will break. That's one example. Second example the Medrash brings, Hapishtoni Azeh, Kozman Shemakish Alehem Pishtonei Nasi Yofeh. This is the one who has flax. He grows flax, he cuts the flax, and then he beats the flax. And the more he beats it, the whiter it becomes, and the purer it becomes. But there again, only on the good flax can take that. And the flax, which is not so good, it cannot take it. And then a third example, Moshe Balabais Yesh Leishtei Poros. A Balabais had two cows. Echot Kecherav, Echot Kecheryofer. One cow was weak, and one cow was very, very strong. Al Minaisin is so old, when he has a job to be done, something heavy to be pulled, or these are oxen. Let's say he has a wagon to be pulled, or he has tree trunks to be pulled out of the ground. So, who does he give the heavy load to? He gives the heavy load to the ox that's strong, not to the weak one. Kacha Kodesh Baruch Hu emanase ela es hatzadikim. So, that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he only tests his tzadikim. Now, what is the meaning of these three examples? This Lefi Pshuta, we learn that these are three examples all teaching us one principle, the same principle. But the Maharal says no. See, the Chazal, one example suffices. If they're giving you three examples, it means they're teaching you three principles. He says there's three different principles involved here. There's three different reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Nishenes on his Tzaddikim. He says, firstly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Nishenes on Tzaddikov because he wants to make them well known. He wants to give them a great name. What does this mean? An example. A person could have a great ability. You take a star athlete, a runner, or a strong wrestler. This runner has the ability to be the greatest runner in the world, except doesn't have the opportunity to compete in international contests. He can only run face of Durban and Velcom or other such places, say. But he can't run in the big time. But he has the ability that if he'll run there, he'll win. Nobody's going to know about that person. Kodesh Baruch will know about him, but nobody else will know about him. He's a Nister, he's not a Nigla. And his potential, he hasn't had the opportunity to show his greatness. A Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he gives reward to a Tzaddikim, he wants to give them the reward not through Midas HaRachamim. Many times a father, a mother will give a reward to a child even though they don't deserve it because of the love. Sulbi BaRachamim BaChesed. That's very nice, but there's a higher level. When you give a reward because of Deen, you have students in school and you give the reward to the one that deserves it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give reward from the aspect of Midas HaDin. And not only does he want to give it because of Midas HaDin, he wants it to be known in the world that he's giving it because of Midas HaDin. Therefore, he has to give his Tzaddikim opportunity to show their greatness. He has to give the Tzaddikim the opportunity to show their wares, their abilities. If they remain all the time on Easter, if he gives them reward, firstly, they didn't do anything yet. They had the ability to do something, but they didn't. And secondly, how's it known in the world? So it would be like you take a runner from a small town in Africa and you bring him to Paris or to London or to New York where you have the International Olympics, the contests. And there you show what he is. Now, with Midas HaDin, you can reward him. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do with Abraham. And that's why it states by the Akedah. These were all the 10 tests were leading up to this, but this is why it states by the Akedah, Vayiach HaDvarim Eile VaElokim Nisos Abraham. It says Elohim. And Elohim is Midas HaDin. That's the Shem, the name of Hashem, which refers to Din. Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying, I know what you are, Abraham. But what I give you, I want you to get it through the Midas HaDin, where it is known throughout the whole world you deserve this. Say. So that's why I'm giving you this test. And that's why at the end of the Akedah, it states that the Malach came and said, This is in Pasuk Yud Beis. Ato yadati ki yirei elakim ato. Now I know that you fear Hashem. Again, elakim, midas adin. Velechos achtos bin kosichit komimani. What does it mean, now I know? Ki yadati. Kodesh Baruch Hu knew before. Now it means like this. Now it will be known throughout the whole world that you are yirei elakim. With midas adin, you deserve all of this. And that's what Rashi brings. See, Rashi brings, Me'ato yesh li ma lehoshiv lesotnu lumes, hatmei mahi chibosi etzlocho. Now I have what to answer the Sotan, and to answer the nations of the world. The nations of the world all say, see, like Bilam claimed that. Bilam claimed, and the Goyim, see, why did you choose Klal Yisrael? Because they had great prophets. Give us prophets who will also be the same. We want the opportunity too. So you had to give them the opportunity, but they failed the opportunity. The same thing here, they ask, why is it that you chose Abraham? Why did you choose Israel? What's so special about the Jew? Give us the same opportunities and we'll also have. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give the opportunities to show the strength. And he says, now, yesh li piskun peh achshav shereim ki yerelekim ato. Yodati means now everybody knows what you are. So, and that's what it means. That's the first example that Chazal give us. The potter. The potter, he chooses his pots. If it's a weak pot, he can't beat it and make it into a real strong pot because it won't be able to succeed. So he doesn't come and give. He's not going to come and give great opportunities to people that will not be able to handle it, just like you're not going to take a third-rate runner and send him to the Olympics. But he chooses the one. And the one that he sees that has it in him, he will bring the opportunities. That's what the Gemara calls that he was motza mokom lizgadelboy. Heiniach le mokom lizgadelboy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that person an opportunity to show his greatness. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives people opportunities not only to be great, but to show their greatness. Because he wants their greatness to be known to them and everyone in order that his reward will be just. And this he can only do by bringing great nishreinus on people. Actually, the Masilas Yesharim brings in a place that the tzaddikim waited for great nishreinus. Because they want, just like a great runner, he's waiting for that opportunity to compete at a world level. They wanted the opportunity to show their abilities. So this was the first example. And on that the Medrash says, what does the word Nisayan mean? So the Medrash says, it comes from the word Nes Shalsfina. A Nes Shalsfina is the flag which the ship flies to show everyone the identity of the ship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person an opportunity to show his identity. Otherwise his identity is not known. What? A standard bearer, see. Otherwise his identity is not known. That's why Asor Nishenes, he brought on Avraham to let Avraham show the whole world just what he is. Look what he did. That's the first reason. Then there's another type of Nisoyin. HaPishtoni Azer. This is the flax maker. He comes and he takes the flax and he beats it. And the better flax he beats more. The weaker ones not. And the better ones, the more he beats, the whiter they become. He says, this is not the opportunity to show your greatness, but this makes a person great. Because difficulties make a man. Hardships make a man. It brings out the inner core of the person. Just like a muscle. A muscle's not going to develop unless you work it and you bring it under a force where it has to resist the force, then it'll develop. This is a principle in all of nature. A child don't give him the opportunity to exercise or to walk or to stand or sit, heaven forbid, he'll end up a cripple because his muscles will never develop. But the more he has a chance to work his muscles against resistance and against great resistance, the greater his muscles will grow. And the same thing spiritually. A person needs the forces of resistance against him spiritually for his own spirit to grow. And this is with the flax. The flax needs the beating for the purification of it, for the perfection of it, for the whiteness to come out of it. So does the person need that. This is what is known as Yisurin Shel Ava. A very interesting parallel I once heard on this, once read, was there was one time a person wrote this. He said he was on a farm, lived on a farm, and they had early rains. And the rains came early, and everything, the plants just flourished. So he told his father, "What a wonderful season." His father says, "No, I'm very worried." What happened? Later on, there was a dry spell. No, it wasn't a dry spell. Later on, great winds came. Great winds and storms came and uprooted all of the plants. And he says, this is what I was worried about. So the son asked, "Well, why did all of this happen?" He says, "When the rains come later in the season, and the time they're supposed to, the plants do not have water. So they're forced to sink their roots deep down into the earth where there's still water. By that time, when the winds come, they can't uproot them. Here, because of the early rains, they weren't forced to sink their roots deep down. And that's why when the winds came later, it uprooted them." You take a tree, if you're too good to it, it's not going to sink its roots down. It won't be able to stand in the winds. But if it has hardship, actually your most fiercest plant is probably the cactus plant. Because it has such hardship, it grows so hardy. So this is the second example. Third example is Moshe the Balabais. There was a Balabais who had two cows. One was strong and one was weak. If he has a big load to carry, who does he give it to? He gives it to the strong one, not to the weak one. But Al writes, there's times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring gzeiros roos, he wants to bring decrees on the world because of hate. He says he brings it on the tzaddikim because they will be able to carry it while the rest will not be able to carry it. He says, when you got a heavy load, you don't give it to anyone. You look for your strong man. Or the same thing, for example, if there's a war. Heaven forbid there's a war, you have to send your soldiers in. And you have to go deep into enemy territory. And there the fighting is the fiercest. And there'll be the most casualties. But you look for your strongest soldiers, not for your weakest. The same thing when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring a decree on the world, or a decree Chas V'Sholom on Israel, he looks for his strongest to carry the decree, not the weakest. There's a Gemara at the end of the first Perek of Ksubas, where one of the great Tanoim Amoraim, he went through a tragedy. I believe he lost his son. So they came to be Menachem him. So he told someone, "Give me some Nechoma." So he started to tell him about all the decrees, the bad decrees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring on Klal Yisrael. So he says, "This is a Nechoma you're giving me?" He says, "Yes. Because I want to show you, you're Atvosa de Dora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds you a leader of the generation. That's why he's having you carry the decrees, not the others." And I was just reading a story on the Chidush HaArim. There was Reb Yitzchok Meir, who was the great Gaon, the Chidush HaArim in Poland. And from him came the Ger dynasty. It writes on him that he and his wife had many children. But all of them died during their lifetime. All of them. And you're wondering, you know, one person should suffer so much. But this is his HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he has heavy decrees to bring, he spares the other people and puts it on the shoulders of the tzaddikim. So that's Moshe Lebalabai said he has two oxen, an easy job to do, he gives it to the regular ox. They got a hard job to do, he picks out the strong ox. And the strong ox complains, why do you give me all the heavy work? Because you're capable for it. The others are not. So these are the three reasons, three different types of yesurin and reasons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings and states, but to a tzaddikim, he's not interested to bring this to others. Let us just conclude that it states in this Mishnah, Asor Nishenes Avraham Avinu twice. That Asor Nishenes Nishnas Avraham Avinu V'omad Bekulam Leidia Kama Chibosei Shel Avraham Avinu. Before she asked, why does it say Avraham Avinu twice? Sometimes it just says Avraham. In the mission before it says Avraham Avinu once, then it says Avraham. Why Avinu twice? The Binyan Yeshua, Novus Reb Nosson, brings two Perushim from various Meforshim. One is because the Mishnah tells us, the Chazal tell us, that later on it tells us that there were 10 miracles that happened to our forefathers in Egypt, another 10 miracles Alayam. It says that was in the schus of the 10 trials and tribulations that Avraham had. Further, it states that 10 times Klal Yisrael tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Higdim Makel Erfuah. Higdim Erfuah Lemaka. The reason why we were saved from all of that is through Avraham's 10 tests. Therefore, it's Avinu, because he is our father, he planted all of this for us. And another explanation is this ability to withstand difficulties, this was given to the children. When Shlaima HaMelech, he was Mispalel, he says that when he built the Beis HaMikdash, he said the Beis HaMikdash will be for Yisrael and for the Goyim. Zu Beis Tfila L'chol Am, it's for the whole world. But he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Goyim come and ask for something, give it to them, whether they deserve it or not. Israel comes, you give it to them only if they deserve it. Because by the Goyim, they cannot take difficulties. So you got to go easy with them. Israel can take difficulties. If things don't go their way, they say, Gamzu L'teva. It's also good. They have that quality. Where do they have that quality? Because by Asor Nishenes Nisnase Avraham Avinu. This we have from our father Avraham. The Omad Bekulam. And he stood through all of them. Lehidia Kamachi Bosse Shel Avraham Avinu. The great love and dedication that Avraham Avinu had. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.